The Atlantis Herald by Pistol, a Stargate Atlantis fan fiction. Read by Kisa Hawklin. There are 24 hours in the day, and for the life of her, Taylor can't remember how she used to spend those hours before accepting a job at the Atlantis Herald. She has distant memories of sleeping 7 hours a night, the quiet calm of her office in the Athos Sun headquarters, and the way all the articles she needed were always ready before it was time to put the paper together. All those things seem like something out of a fairy tale when her glass doors burst open as her head of food and dining storms in. I will burn this building to the ground. Laura, Taylor smiles, pretending not to have a stress migraine that's been building since nodding through Rodney's biweekly list of complaints about Chaya earlier this morning. Your job is to write about food. This low-fat monstrosity that Elizabeth wants me to create isn't food. It's a crime against taste buds. Her face is flushed, hands jerking angrily in the air, in a way that tells Taylor that Laura's been spending too much time hanging around Rodney's cubicle. Lauren clears his throat awkwardly, and Laura starts, surprised at his presence. Who are you, and what are you doing here? I'm Lauren, and I was having an interview before you came in. Laura looks momentarily chided. I apologize, Lauren. I will be with you in a moment. Taylor turns, sending Laura a reproachful look. Our readers have expressed a desire for healthier food options during their bikini season, and it is our duty to give them what they want. More importantly, I've asked you to do this. Taylor smiles serenely up at Laura. If these are not good enough reasons for you, I can always relieve you of your burden and give your column to Chuck. I'm sure he wouldn't see it as a hardship. Laura rolls her eyes. I'll do it, but I'm doing it under protest. Taylor resists the urge to roll her eyes right back. As if there was any other way work is ever completed in this office. Your protest has been noted. Laura turns, opening the door and yelling to the room at large. Fat is where the flavor is, people! If you want it to taste good, you can't expect it to be fat-free! From the back corner of the room, Taylor sees two fists raised above their cubicle wall in support. Damn the man! John calls out, chorused by Ronan's grunt of solidarity. Oh, shut up, Mr. I was in the military, Rodney snaps from his side of the room. You are the man you're trying to fight. Thankfully, the door swings closed behind Laura, muting the sound of the ensuing comeback, while still giving Lauren and Taylor a chance to watch, as Laura walks back to her cubicle, fist held high in the air and her long peasant skirt, decorated with what Rodney claims is the chemical structure of Semtex, swirling dramatically behind her. For a moment, Taylor lets herself drift fondly to memories of Charon, who was always so pleased to receive any type of recipe request from their readers of the Sun. Is it always like this? Lauren turns back around, looking remarkably unfazed. Taylor, unwilling to lose a man with Lauren's journalism experience, offers him a weary smile, and neglects to mention that Laura is one of the calmer members of the staff. Surprisingly, this went over much better than when Elizabeth requested a recipe for a low-fat, sugar-free cheesecake from Ms. Cadman. Really? Indeed. She glances up with a frown through her glass door toward the sound of a commotion in the main offices, where Rodney is turning even redder and louder as he jabs an angry finger in John's chest. John just crosses his arms and smirks down at him. Lauren gestures toward the fight. I could go try to break up. Do not bother. Rodney is all bark, and John would not harm him. Lauren shoots her a curious look. So this is all normal? As normal as it gets at Atlantis, she admits. Have you perhaps reconsidered our offer? Ma'am, with all due respect, I've been a reporter in 3 war zones. This should be a walk in the park. Taylor does her best to swallow her laughter. I remember thinking something very similar on my first day as well. I thought we could all start with some introductions, Taylor says with a warning glance into each of the cubicles before turning back to Lauren. These gentlemen are in charge largely for our science and technology sections. She doesn't have to wait long for Rodney to take over. Dr. Rodney McKay, recipient of 2 Pulitzers. Rodney gives Lauren a curt nod before returning to his work and gesturing to Radic's side of the cubicle. That's Radish Zelenka, but most importantly, you'll rue the day you were born if I catch you snooping at my desk. My name is Radic, Radic corrects half-heartedly, not Radish. Rodney waves him off. Publish something worth reading and I'll think about remembering that. Rodney, Taylor chides. What? Rodney snaps indignantly. It's not like it isn't true. We all know I'm the only reason this paper is read by anyone who isn't a hippie or a complete moron. Taylor arches a single brow, and behind her, she hears Ronan's deep chuckle. She's gonna kick your ass, Ronan stage whispers. Rodney finally looks up from his work and swallows thickly when he sees her face. I might have been exaggerating, a little. And maybe our readers aren't as terrible as I made them out to be. And who knows? If Radek applied himself, he might even be at my level someday. Radek snorts. Flatterer. Taylor sends Rodney a warning look before directing Lauren toward the opposite cubicle, already mentally scheduling Rodney for coverage of the Children's Science Center's grand opening. Maybe she'll send Chai to take pictures of Rodney with the kids. These men make up what we have affectionately named our Hail Mary section. Behind them, Rodney snorts. John Shepard, recipient of 2 speeding tickets this month, John says in an impressive impression of Rodney. He winks, reaching out to shake Lauren's hand. And this is my buddy, Ronan. Ronan grunts, smiling proudly as Lauren stops looking at their Thompson for Sheriff poster and finally notices the row of armed Furbies lined up around their desks. Cool, huh? Ronan says. Lauren nods, and Taylor feels a jolt of sympathy. She remembers all too well feeling unsure of how to respond to the terrifying creatures when John and Ronan first started taping various knives to them. Truthfully, they've been much easier to deal with, and quieter, ever since Radek and Rodney destroyed their battery ports while Ronan and John were on a taco run. Hail Marys? Lauren asks, leaning against the cubicle wall. Oh, you know, John says with a wide smile. Sports, horoscopes, and whatever else no one else will do. Mainly we work on the advice section we inherited from Tyr. John is a glorified fortune cookie pretending to be a journalist, Rodney informs Lauren as he wheels his chair out into the walkway. Their little feminist sex advice gig isn't something anyone would mistake for real writing. You still pissed it got nominated this year, and your work didn't? Ronan calls out with a toothy grin. You were nominated for an award from a website that looks like my niece designed it. It'd be more of an honor to not be nominated by them. Their hit counter had a pot leaf on it. You write a sex advice column for feminists? Lauren asks. Taylor is more than pleased to see Lauren smiling in amusement instead of running for the door like so many others before him. John shrugs. It's not just sex advice. It's any kind of advice. We also review sci-fi books, based on writing, plot, the practicality of their covers, female armor if they have any, and by the presence of strong female characters, Ronan adds sagely. Taylor hears Rodney scoff and quickly takes over before he can. Their section is called Octavio and Butler, and it is very popular. She moves to grind her heel into Rodney's foot. The Atlantis Herald is honored to count it among its selection of articles. Lauren politely nods along, while behind her, Rodney whimpers. The introductions are all downhill after that, with slight hiccups at Miko's and Laura's cubicles. Taylor sends Lauren ahead to her office while she talks with Laura about the recipe she submitted. I may not have your cooking background, but I am very certain that chlorine and alcohol are not considered traditional ingredients. It's an old argument, one that only rarely diverts from what is now a familiar script. Laura scowls on cue, while Miko continues to ignore them all as she focuses on compiling an obituary. Anyone who wants to cook that monstrosity deserves to have their kitchen explode! We have talked about this, Laura, Taylor says firmly. Also about playing your games while at work. She nods to the screen, where a group of eerily familiar-looking Sims are wandering around in a more brightly colored version of their office. Also, Rodney has more hair than that, and you know it. That catches Miko's attention, and she glances over to examine the screen before sending Laura a disapproving look. My apologies for much of what you have seen today. I am aware my staff was less than professional. Taylor finishes pouring her tea and raises the kettle in question. Lauren waves her off with a smile. I gotta say, they seem to be a handful. She answers with a tired smile. Indeed. I wish that I could say truthfully that what you have witnessed today is not the norm. I kinda got that feeling. Taylor watches him closely, but there's no judgment there, only a thread of amusement. But while our staff was perhaps unorthodox at times, the facts remain that the Atlantis Herald is one of the finest papers in this country. We have received many prestigious awards and commendations. She gestures to the area behind her desk where many of those awards are on display, and watches as Lauren looks over them before turning to look out the glass door. His eyes linger on John and Ronan as they construct a crude trebuchet out of office supplies and a shoe, on Rodney yelling while Radek ignores him, on Miko smiling politely at Chuck, their FedEx delivery man, and on Laura smirking as she no doubt offers suggestions to Ronan and John. Despite what others might say or think about them, the people in that room are some of the finest journalists I have ever known, Taylor says softly. They often drive me to madness, but I am very honored to be their editor-in-chief. I, of course, would understand if this type of environment is not one you would be willing to endure. On the other side of the door, there's a loud whoop Splash! And the shrill cry Taylor knows, without looking, came from McKay. We also have an excellent dental plan. Taylor is not the only one excited with the addition of Lauren to their staff, and by the time all the papers are all signed and Lauren has moved into his cubicle with Chaya, Taylor can't find it within herself to deny Ronan and John when they show up after their lunch break with enough alcohol to host a frat party. Only if you agree to wait until after we go to print, she concedes. Both are bouncing on the balls of their feet with barely contained glee. Keep in mind that I will be very cross if this gets out of hand, Taylor warns. Come on, John drawls, as Ronan throws an arm around her shoulders. It's just a few drinks between co-workers. What could go wrong? Both of them somehow manage to look like butter wouldn't melt in their mouths, and against her better judgment, she rolls her eyes, shooing them out of her office. Taylor wakes up on the print room floor with a pounding headache and Ronan and John snoring loudly on either side of her. She's fully dressed, but Ronan is only wearing his boxer briefs, and John is shirtless and missing one sock. After several calming breaths and a moment of careful consideration, Taylor wakes them both by hitting them with her shoe. Both whine and roll away from her, blinking up at her in red-eyed confusion. You are both fired, she informs them primly. Did we all end up fucking again? We most certainly did not! Taylor hits Ronan again with her shoe. Besides, that was one time, and none of us were aware of the extra ingredients in the drinks the ambassador had offered us as a token of friendship. John closes his eyes, grunting in agreement. I hate tokens of friendship. That one wasn't bad, Ronan mutters as he shields his eyes from the fluorescent lights. You did not spend 2 weeks peeing on a stick and wondering if you idiots use protection. Both men wince apologetically. I wasn't all that worried, John says softly, rolling over to rest his head on Taylor's shoulder. I mean, it had turned out to be a great kid, you know. I would have been there for you. His voice is slurred, and Taylor knows immediately that he's still drunk. Yeah, we'd be good dads, Ronan agrees, as Taylor realizes John's not the only one. And Taylor would be a good mom. Any anger she might have had drains away as she pulls both men into a hug. You are both morons. Taylor finds herself cut off by a string of vulgarities from the other side of the door. Holy shit! Laura screams. I'm gonna kill you, McKay! Like a switch has been flipped, they're all moving, scrambling up to follow John out the door and towards the shouting. In the main office area, Laura's being held back by Miko, who's bravely thrown herself between Laura and Rodney. Rodney, who upon closer inspection appears to be wearing a very familiar peasant skirt like a dress, and not much else. Taylor swallows her smile and glances over at Laura, noticing for the first time she's clad only in her bra and a too large pair of boxers with MRM embroidered on them. Jesus Christ, Rodney! John yells. What the fuck did you do? Rodney glances over to John, his face a mixture of shock, embarrassment, and irritation. Apparently her! John's face crumples, and Rodney bites at his lip, looking away from him. I know where to get C4, Laura hisses. Miko rolls her eyes, shoving Laura back with surprising efficiency. Oh, please, like I'm all that thrilled to have woken up next to you! Radek peeks out from the entrance of his cubicle. Dopardelle! I had to endure your running and filthy words to each other last night, so if anyone here has suffered, it is me! Laura and Rodney both exchange looks of horror. Oh my god! Rodney moans. I think I'm gonna be sick! Laura finishes for him as they both bolt toward the bathroom. Taylor closes her eyes, taking two calming breaths before turning to John, who is swaying on his feet and glaring in the general direction of the bathrooms. Taylor turns, instead, to Ronan, who watches them both with wary eyes. I am going home. When I return, the office will be cleaned, people will be wearing clothing, and the events of last night will be forgotten and never spoken of again. There will never again be an alcoholic beverage in this office. Understood? Ronan nods, focusing less on her and more on where John is standing, fists clenched. Take care of him? Taylor asks quietly. Ronan rolls his eyes, already steering John to the break room. A shower, a nap, and 2 hours of meditation leave Taylor feeling ready enough to attempt to take on the world, or at least her office. When she enters the building, she's not surprised by the silence. The entire team is undoubtedly suffering the combined effects of hangovers and wounded pride. Possibly homicidal thoughts, if Rodney and Laura's looks are any indication. Over in Ronan and John's cubicle, Ronan is holding their office's Roomba while John attaches what looks like a miniature cannon to it. Taylor breathes a sigh of relief when John starts talking about a test run. Clearly, things are already settling back down to something close to this office's normal. "Staff meeting in 30," she calls loudly. Half the office flinches at the noise, and Taylor doesn't bother to hide her smirk. The next day, Rodney bursts into her office, waving a copy of the screen cap from Laura's Sims game. "That could be construed as a threat!" Taylor looks longingly at the pile of work she should be doing instead of playing mother to her co-workers. The work is blessedly silent, unlike Rodney, who continues to demand her full attention. "Rodney, I sincerely doubt Laura possesses the ability to make you wet yourself in real life." "So we think! I wouldn't put it past her to figure out a way!" Sagittarius's prediction for that week reads, "Your lucky fruit is lemon," which, thanks to Rodney's 2-hour-long conniption fit, slips through to print unnoticed. Taylor knows she has only herself to blame, and mentally steadies herself for the ensuing fallout when Elizabeth calls. "I don't envy you today." "I am not surprised. After all, it was made quite clear you handed your position down to me in order to alleviate stress." Elizabeth laughs, and Taylor hangs up. The retaliations start with Rodney locking John out of his own computer. John retaliates by raiding a party supply store and opening a fortune-telling booth in the break room. By lunchtime, both men are sulking on opposite sides of the break room, Rodney with a stash of golfing magazines and a worn VHS tape, and John with the only bag of coffee in the office. Taylor pointedly ignores them both as she makes her cup of tea. "So I shouldn't ask. Hell, I normally wouldn't even think of asking, but are they..." Lauren gestures between John and Rodney with a searching look. It's sad that an invasion into her staff's personal lives is the least stressful thing that she's had to deal with today. "No, they are not together." "I don't know why they aren't," Raddick mutters into his coffee cup. "All I hear from Rodney is John did this, and have you seen John's stupid hair?" He snorts. "Pathetic." Ronan grunts sympathetically. "I don't know, I think it's kind of fun to watch," Laura throws in, hopping up on the counter and stealing Lauren's cup of coffee. "I mean, they're both so emotionally stunted, and I can't figure out how the hell neither of them seems to realize that the other person is ridiculously gay for them." "It's obvious," Miko says with a shake of her head. "After all, this whole fight started because Rodney read the horoscope section. He pretends he doesn't, but everyone knows he only reads it because John writes it." "I'm guessing Rodney hates horoscopes?" Lauren asks curiously. "If you feel brave, perhaps let it drop that you follow yours very closely," Raddick advises with a smirk. Their first monthly pitch meeting with Lauren is off to a good start. John and Ronan have both agreed to leave their Nerf guns at their desk with minimal whining, and Laura and Rodney have yet to start trading threats. Taylor counts the whole day as a success when Lauren interrupts Rodney, who's bemoaning that the newspaper industry is doomed because it's trying to adapt to, but not exceeding, modern-day tech. "I know this sounds crazy, but I got a front-page-worthy scoop on the CEO of Lose..." Rodney cuts Lauren off with a snort. "Of course you do." "I do," Lauren protests. "I've got an inside..." "Let me guess. The CEO's secretary called you up and is willing to spill over lunch?" John asks with a lazy grin. Lauren frowns. "Yeah, how'd you know?" "By any chance, is the secretary a 6-foot-tall blonde who is willing to be paid for his information in Red Bulls?" "Wears weird shirts," Ronan adds with a smirk. Lauren nods dumbly. "Lauren, while I appreciate your initiative, this paper has a strict stance on not printing anything Mr. Jensen might divulge." Taylor inclines her head apologetically. Lauren's face goes stony. "I thought this was a reputable paper. I wasn't aware we were in anyone's pockets." Taylor can hear the sharp judgment in Lauren's voice. "We are a reputable paper, but we have learned the hard way that Franklin Clay's secretary is prone to embellishment when his caffeine privileges are revoked." "Wait, what?" "He's insane," Laura supplies helpfully. "If he's got anything new on the Fadil Corp merger, we'll consider it. Otherwise..." Rodney shrugs. "Right," Lauren says, looking a bit lost. "I'll keep that in mind." "Don't worry about it too much. Trying to run a Jensen-fueled story is practically a rite of passage here at Atlantis," John says with a sympathetic look. "If you get a call from him, it's best to nod along and then just call their in-house lawyer to let him know he needs to make a Starbucks run." Lauren looks up, embarrassment plain in his eyes. "You too?" Oh, yeah. Had a big story on Clay's secret sex dungeon that he used to pay off his shareholders. Mine was on the sexual harassment of CEO's male secretaries, Zelenka admits with a shrug. Running a legal test to try and keep their military contracts satisfied, Rodney says with a scowl. Secret crack addiction, Laura adds with a what-can-you-do shrug. Oh, Lauren says, looking dazed. You guys aren't really like the other newspapers I've worked for. Taylor finds herself smiling. Indeed, we are. Atlantis is galaxies from other papers, Rodney says with a smug smirk, clearly missing Lauren's meaning. Lauren's first article on the local job market goes out that night, nestled next to O'Neill's coverage of the nursing strike and a photo that Chaya took for John's fluff piece on Ferris wheels. Despite this, Taylor is unsure as to why Rodney feels the urge to wave it in her face. You need to speak with her. Rodney slaps the paper on her desk, grabbing the mouse and pulling up a folder of photos on their overhead monitor. This is what she turned in for John's article on the air show. Here we go again, Laura stage whispers to Miko. Taylor raises a brow. Rodney, how did you get these photos? Rodney raises his chin in defiance. Her password is a joke. You know that... Yes, yes, you can yell at me all you want later, but look! Taylor glares at him again before turning to the screen as Rodney scrolls through picture after picture of John looking awkwardly at the camera in various locations throughout the fairgrounds. In the background of over 30 photos, Taylor finds a grand total of 3 planes. She uselessly rubs her temple. It's the Ferris wheel photos all over again. You have my word. I will speak with her today. From the other side of the room, Ronan makes a thoughtful sound. Didn't you and Chaya break up?
Yep.
John says. Wasn't it her idea?
Yep.
Laura rolls her eyes. Clearly, she still wants your dick. Next to her, Rodney slams his laptop shut, muttering darkly in agreement. Laura, Taylor chides. That is not acceptable workplace language. She says she just wants to be friends, John says, eyeing the doorway longingly. Laura cackles. Yeah, she does. She wants to be friends with your dick. John narrows his eyes at her, but Taylor cuts him off before he can speak. That's it. All of you are attending workplace behavior seminars. The seminars, in retrospect, are a bad idea. Rodney is still too wound up to be in the same room as Chaya and be civil about it, and John is too stressed out by both of them to keep his more cutting comments in check. The others, as always, follow in chaotic suit. Well, Taylor notes, at least Miko is pretending to pay attention as she fills her notepad with cartoons of the speaker's messy deaths. Mr. Everett and Mr. Caldwell are clearly not used to being spoken over, and both storm out well before the seminar is done. Taylor locks herself in her office, puts on calming music, and calls Carter. I would like to dock everyone 3 days' worth of pay, she says, in lieu of a greeting. I'm not sure that's legal, but what the hell? Consider it done. Carter pauses. Do I want to know? I am trapped in a building full of sexually active adults who behave like teenagers, Taylor says dryly. Carter makes a sympathetic sound. Want to hear about how Jackson pissed off O'Neill this week? Taylor closes her eyes, sinking back in her seat. Yes, please. Drama is always better when it's not something you have to deal with firsthand. Chaya hands in her resignation that night. Oh, Taylor says. We will all be very sad to see you go. It's a lie, but there's no nice way of saying, you seem like a lovely woman, but it's probably for the best. Because you clearly like John, which pisses off Rodney, which ultimately leads to stress levels in this office tripling. Chaya laughs. Thank you for saying that, but I think we both know it's time I leave and return to my place at the FR Journal. Taylor isn't sure how, but at some point, Laura and Rodney's cold war of threats and unbecoming pictures of Rodney's sim dies out, as a Nerf gun war between John and Laura starts. It's vicious, and if not for the fact that the whole office knows they aren't allowed to mod any Nerf guns or darts that are brought into the office, Taylor might worry their war would end in blood. Luckily, the rules are respected, and John and Laura simply don protective sunglasses and keep their drinks covered. Does anyone in this office actually work? Raddick complains and slams the break room door behind him shut. He reaches up, carting a hand through his hair and plucking a dart from it with a sour look. Sometimes I wonder how it is we manage to scrape a paper together each night, Taylor admits. Though I was under the impression that Laura and John had solidified their alliance since the stapler fiasco last year.
Old alliances can crumble under new pressures, Radic says sagely. Taylor folds her hands on the formica table, watching Radic expectantly. Laura might have been rubbing it in to John. Rubbing what in? Radic gives Taylor a look. Oh. She said that while she doesn't remember much, she does remember the eyeful she got when she stole her skirt back from Rodney. Radic shudders. She was wearing his boxers and he was wearing Stop. Taylor takes a deep breath. We aren't talking about that day, remember? Well, you may not be, but Laura is talking. She said Rodney's ass was... Taylor glares, and Radic falls silent. So John is, she winces, taking this badly? He went onto her Sims game and trapped 50 of her people in a house and orchestrated their deaths after he erased her saves. There were screen caps taken, and now the sky is full of orange darts. Taylor stands, moving to peek out the break room door. She's just in time to see Ronan get fed up with being pelted with Laura's darts. He jerks open his desk drawer and breaks out his own bright green gun. With Ronan's addition, Miko is quick to back Laura up with an impressive number of deftly thrown paper planes and stuffed animals aimed at Ronan's head. Taylor closes the door, leaning against it and breathing deeply. Some days she feels like she works in a kindergarten. Other days, she knows she does. I used to work for the Athos Sun, she says wistfully. It was a small but proud paper. Radic smirks. Ah, you complain, but you also keep coming back. I could say the same for you. They are crazy, yes, Radic admits. But I think perhaps we are as well. For once it's Miko who bursts into Taylor's office after lunch. But unlike the others, she isn't screaming, waving objects, or staring quietly at Taylor until she asks what's wrong. Miko just looks pale, almost scared. It's John, she says in a shaky voice. Rodney has already called the ambulance. What? Taylor's already up and moving out into the main area, where Rodney and Ronan are escorting an overly calm John to the exit. Laura and Lorne follow behind them, stone-faced. Taylor can hear the sirens faintly in the distance. Her chest tightens. Miko. There was a spider on the ceiling in the women's restroom, Miko says in a whisper. He tried to get it from me, but it fell and bit his neck. Radic was there. Luckily, he recognized it. The spider? Taylor glances in confusion over to Radic, his hair looking more disheveled than normal. He gives her a tight smile, holding up a piece of tissue paper containing the crushed iridescent bug. Erratus, spider, he says grimly. Very, very poisonous. Taylor nods, taking a calming breath before glancing beseechingly to Miko. Miko, yes, she says. Radic and I will stay. I have watched you put the paper together many times. It will not be as good as you could do, but we will go to print. Taylor grabs Miko, resting her forehead against hers in a gesture that's half a hug and half gratitude before grabbing her keys and rushing out the door. Between Ronan and herself, they manage to calm Rodney enough that the doctors don't kick him out of the hospital and they stop threatening to sedate him. Assholes, Rodney whines half-heartedly as he stares down at his hands. They're just glorified witch doctors. Taylor nods in feigned sympathy, pulling him over to rest his head on her shoulder, just as Laura comes strolling back with an agitated-looking Lorne. Both are empty-handed. I thought you were getting coffee? Laura winks at Rodney. I got something better. She stole a box of IV bags. Lorne doesn't bother to hide his disapproval. Banana bags! Great for hangovers, Laura says. She seduced some Scottish doctor to get them. Laura! Taylor hisses. Wait, you haven't even heard the best part yet! Laura bounces in her seat. Doc says they just got the antivenom flown in. He gave me his word. John's going to be fine. Taylor ignores the urge to beat Laura to death and thanks the ancestors while Rodney sags against her shoulder in relief. He'll be okay? Yeah, Lorne says with a reassuring smile. It got here in time. Ronan smirks. I told you, McKay. Oh, yeah. Laura is watching Rodney out of the corner of her eye. He also said John will probably need someone to watch him tonight, just to be safe. So I told the doc that if no one else was able to, I could... I'll do it, Rodney calls out predictably. Taylor rolls her eyes. How very generous of you, Rodney. Ronan offers to drive John and Rodney back to John's place in his truck. Are you sure you don't need any assistance? Taylor glances pointedly over to where John is weakly slapping Rodney away as Rodney tries to buckle John in. I've babysat my cousins before, Ronan says with a shrug. Shouldn't be that much different. Taylor nods, squeezing Ronan's arm in thanks just as John hisses, "Knock it off!" "Oh, forgive me for trying to help the moron who almost died!"
John groans dramatically. "I didn't almost die." "Liar!" Rodney shouts. "I saw you! You were all pale and the doctors were worried and they didn't have any antivenom in."
Rodney trails off, looking tired and hunched over. "I was worried, okay?"
"I know, buddy." John sighs and pulls Rodney into a half-hug. "Sorry I scared you."
"Dumbass."
"Yep, I'm the dumbest."
John's drawl doesn't match the concerned look on his face as Rodney burrows into his side. "No more heroics."
John looks up, rolling his eyes at Taylor and Ronan while he rubs Rodney's back. "I promise, if anyone asks me to kill a bug, I promise to run screaming in the other direction."
"You better get going," Taylor tells Ronan. "Both of them have had a long day. I fear they are both about to fall asleep in your truck."
Ronan nods, climbing up into the truck.
"Do you even have a license to drive this thing?"
"I don't," Ronan tells Rodney with a grin. "Better buckle up."
Taylor watches as Ronan peels out of the hospital parking lot, screeching tires accompanied by the sounds of Rodney screeching.
"I do not envy your journey," she tells his dust trail with a smirk.
When John and Rodney finally show up to the office, they're 2 hours late and both of their hair is still wet from a shower. Everyone stops what they're doing to watch Rodney fuss at John's neck bandage while John shrugs out of his jacket. Taylor finds that it's hard not to notice that John's lazy sprawl is extra lazy, and that Rodney's smug is twice his normal level. When she calls a meeting, John keeps a proprietary hand on Rodney's back as they walk to their cubicles. Ronan frowns at them before digging into his pocket and handing her a crumpled $50 bill.
"Thank you," she says, smiling widely.
Ronan looks her over, scratching absently his neck.
"How'd you know? I mean, they've been circling each other for years."
Taylor shrugs. "Near-death experience. Rodney is a smart man. Too smart to let himself waste another 5 years or risk another spider attacking John."
"Oh my god, you two are disgustingly cute,"
Laura coos loudly to Rodney. Taylor is inclined to agree. Taylor had expected the arguing between John and Rodney to stop. Sadly, if anything, it's only gotten worse. Both men seem to use it as foreplay. In the office. As it is, she's close to snapping when she walks in on Ronan peeing on her office fern. "The bathroom's occupied," he says, by way of explanation. Taylor crosses her arms, unimpressed. "There are many stalls, Ronan." Ronan shrugs, unselfconsciously shaking before tucking himself away. "It's weird to take a leak when someone's getting fucked in the stall next to you." She closes her eyes and focuses on just breathing.
"I miss Athos," she says quietly.
"Bullshit. You'd be bored out of your mind if you went back there." Taylor puts a sign on the bathroom door, reminding everyone that it's one person per stall at lunch. It's quite possibly an all-time low in her career. By the time they're ready to go to print, the sign is covered by a screen capture of John and Rodney's Sims in a hot tub. When she takes the picture to Laura for explanation, she's mostly ignored, as Laura keeps flipping absently through her Cook's Illustrated. "Just be lucky I stuck with Sims. After all, I have a wireless webcam." Next to her, Miko extends a fist, which Laura bumps with her own. "I'm going to fire you both," Miko snorts.
"I could," Taylor warns them.
"Dude, you love it here. We all see those smiles you try to hide. Just give it up already."
Laura smiles widely up at her.
"One of us, one of us, one of us." It probably means Laura was right, but when Taylor walks in the break room to find Miko cornering a wide-eyed John, Taylor isn't really surprised.
"Miko?"
Miko turns, terrifying smile switching to a shy grin as she nods hello.
"Good morning."
Taylor nods back and ignores John's frantic hand signals. "Is everything all right?"
"Of course. I was just reminding John about my job."
Miko turns, the expression on her face going hard. It's unlike anything Taylor's ever seen from her.
"Oh?"
"He's aware that I spend most of my time covering crime scenes and obituaries. I was just pointing out how if I chose a life of crime, I would have little problem disposing of the body and any incriminating evidence." Next to Taylor, the microwave dings, making both her and John startle. Miko calmly walks over, taking her mug out, and gives another polite nod to Taylor before walking out.
"Well," John says, clearing his throat, "that was different."
"Dare I ask?" John looks over at her, rather dazed.
"Apparently, I need to make Rodney an honest man."
Taylor blinks.
"You've been together for a week, have you not?" Well, 5 days. But apparently it's in my best interest to treat him right as soon as possible. John smooths his hands down his shirt with a nervous frown. And apparently Rodney has always wanted a big wedding. I wish I didn't ask, Tayla says, for a lack of better things to say. John nods absently. Doesn't Atlantis have a sister paper in Russia or something? Tayla closes her eyes, composing herself before grabbing John's shirt and pushing him back into the wall. Tayla? Listen closely, John Shepherd. I put up with much in this office, and should you decide to flee the country after the years I've spent putting up with you and Rodney, Miko will be the least of your worries. I'm just thinking that maybe I didn't think this whole me and Rod... While I am very aware that you have the emotional maturity of one of your Furbies, I also know I have spent nearly 5 years watching you try to court Rodney much the way children do on a playground. Tayla shoves him back into the wall once more, just because Miko made it look like so much fun. And should you run away and leave me to deal with the fallout that will take place in this office, I will track you down and make you suffer. Before he can say anything else, Tayla releases his shirt, turns, and walks away with a bounce in her step. The end.